Welcome to City Hope London's Sermon Podcast. To find out more about us, visit www.cityhope.london.
I'm going to talk about our need for God. I'm going to talk about how easily distracted we are from him. But I'm also going to emphasize how great his love is for us. At the end, there's going to be a time to respond. For the first time, if you never realized how much joy you can have in a relationship with God, there's going to be an opportunity to come and meet with him. Also, if you just feel like you've missed out over the last however long on the joy of a relationship with God, there's going to be an opportunity for you to respond. And finally, if you just want to encounter a deeper sense of God's presence than you have before, you can respond. So in other words, if you're here today, you can respond to God. I'm also expecting that God will speak to you directly and to you for the church. So I'm really excited about God meeting with us today. So that's where we're going. I'm going to actually ask that we all stand and we all just say, God, I want to hear you speak to me. I ask that we stand. Like, if you're not able to stand, that's fine. But actually, I want us to be active and say, I need more of you, God, than I have experienced this far. So pray that. I'm going to pray that. And then we'll see what God does as we move forward. Lord God, we just ask that you would meet with us this morning. Pray that you would come and speak to us. I invite you to speak to me this morning. Lord God, we pray that you would come and meet with us. Pray that every person who wants you to speak to them today, you would speak to them. I pray you would draw all of us closer and deeper into relationship with you. Amen. You can sit down. So, I want to start by just being honest. You might think that because I'm up here and because I often talk about prayer, I have an immaculate relationship with God. I don't. My relationship with God goes up and down. And actually, as I've reflected over the last year, I recognize that I have lost a lot of the joy of in my relationship with God. It's become quite, I've got a lot of things I need to do. I'm missing out on the depth and the excitement of an encounter with God. It's not that I've stopped loving God or wanting to follow God. It's just that I'm aware that I've just lost something of the excitement of that encounter with God. Life has a way, doesn't it, of just dragging you down, of sucking the joy out of things for us. And I wonder, maybe some of you feel the same. Maybe you are feeling like, is this it? Is this really it? And I think I'm here today to say, I believe there is more for you wherever you're at. There is definitely more for me. I've had it before. I know God's got more for me. And we're going to look at some of why we get robbed of that joy this morning. Listen, I just want to clarify by just saying, I am not saying that following God should all be laughter and happiness or else you're doing it wrong. Look, it very clearly wasn't for Jesus, right? That isn't the goal, that you're always laughing and happy. But there is something of a depth of encountering a living God who loves you that we miss out on so much of the time. We get it robbed from us. He has got more for us than we realize. And that's something that I want us to really grasp this morning. The Bible teaches us that God is the source and the sustainer of all life. It says in Psalm 36, verse 9, you are the giver of life, and your light lets us enjoy life. He's like fuel in a car. If we've got plenty of fuel, the car just goes smoothly. But how often, for so many of us, does it feel like we're driving around on fumes? You know, if you do stop and fill up, it's like you're just sticking a fiver because who's got more? Who can spare more? And then you're just down the road and you're just struggling. And it's like, actually, there must be more than just limping along, just about getting by. There must be more. God has much more to give us. Did you know that he delights in you? I'm going to let that sink in. He delights in you. He loves you unconditionally. He says in Isaiah 55, "Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, you who have no money. Come and buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without cost." He is our life source, and he wants to bless us and give us more than we can ask or imagine. Which is why the devil works so hard to corrupt our relationship with God, because life flows from it, and he wants to destroy life. This week of prayer, we want to give you space and time to meet with God, to call on him for the things that he has placed on your heart in a time and a place that suits you. That's why we've asked, you'll see on the sheets, that's why we've asked a range of different people to run different prayer meetings in different places. So we hope it works for you better than just having a few fixed ones in this building. If it doesn't, I'm sorry, but we tried. And if it doesn't, meet up with someone and pray. You do not need to pray here. We want you to be encountering God and laying hold of him for the stuff that he's put on your heart. That's what we're desperate to see in this church and in this area. It's prayer that is going to change things. We do not need numbers in a building. We need people who are encountering a living God, and we believe he wants to meet with you. So we're saying, let's get together, let's pray. Pray wherever you like, whenever you like, with whoever you like, however you like, just pray. Just meet with God. So that's what we want to try and achieve during this week of prayer. So we want to use this week sort of as a refresh button. I've been busy, I've been tired, let me just stop. Let me remember him. And I'm going to talk about how we do that a bit. But let's just stop. Let's look at him again and go, I've got busy. I've got tired. I've had the joy sucked out of me. I'm running on empty. Right, let's refresh. Let's encounter him again. And let's put in some practices that are going to help us not get to that so run down thing all over again. Yeah. So, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, at the beginning of creation, everything was perfect. They walked with God. They had a bit of stuff to do, like they had to name animals and they had to tend the garden. But that was like before the fall, right? When it was became toil after the fall. So probably wasn't the most graft, do you know what I mean? It wasn't like the toughest job. But the devil still gets into that perfect world, to those people who've semi-busy with semi-low stress. The devil still gets into them, yeah? He still gets in and he says, did God really say... Do you know, their response should have been, didn't really sound like God, but he's only over there, I'll just go and check with him. But it wasn't. They were like, yeah, do you know what? Why is God trying to spoil my fun? Why is he trying to rob me? And the devil got in and the lie took root. Sorry, I'll just keep up with my notes. If the devil can get into a perfect world with no real dramas that easily, how much easier is it for his lies to take root in your life and him to rob you of the depth, of the joy, of the intimacy of a relationship with God? You know, for clarity, that wasn't even the first time the devil had done that. He also caused about a third of the angels of heaven to fall before then. So he's already lied in heaven, which is utterly perfect. And then he's lied in Eden, which is about as perfect as the world ever got. And every time people have bought it and lost, or angels have bought it and lost something of the intimacy of a joy of a relationship with God. That's what he's after. He's after robbing you of the joy and the intimacy of a relationship with God. And today, we're going to stand together and we're going to say, no more. I want the best that God has got for me. And I'm not going to let go of it. I can see that he's robbed me. He has robbed me, but I don't have to stay robbed, okay? Let me tell you the story of the prodigal son. Many of you will have heard that story. It's a story that Jesus told. It's in Luke's gospel in the Bible, if you want to find it. But simply a son that takes all of the inheritance from his father, takes all of his father's money, and he goes off and he just spends it all on wild living, parties, all of that sort of stuff. Till he's got absolutely nothing left and he's absolutely desperate and broken. And then he gets a job feeding pigs because that's all he's got left, which is about as low as it gets for a Jew, right? You're feeding the pigs. it really doesn't get lower than that. And in that moment, he realizes, do you know what? The servants in my dad's house, they're better off than this. I'm going to go back there. And he goes back with no expectation of his dad. He's not feeling like I'll go back and I'll be, you know, get what I should have as my son. He's going back with no expectation. He is ashamed of his behavior, but he's thinking, I'm just so broken and desperate. What are my other options? Just surely my best. And he limps in shame back to his father's house. And the description of the father is looking out for him. He's looking, I don't know how long he's been gone. How long has the father stood there looking out for him? And when he sees him a long way off, the father runs to him. And I love this. As I pondered this week, it just so touched me deep in my heart. Why does the father run to him? He's going to get there anyway. And how is he looking? He's been calling him and willing him to come back for all of this time. But the father runs to him because otherwise the son has got to walk back past all those friends and all those neighbours that live in the recent village. And the shame of, look what I did to my dad, to my family, the shame that I brought on him for the way I behaved. The father is like, I am not having you carry that shame. So he runs there before anyone else can see him and he wraps him in his robe and he starts shouting out for a party. He's like, John, go and kill a cow. We're having a feast. He's like, you go and do this. We're having a party. Look, my son's come back. He's not allowing the son to just, shamefully approach and say, oh no, I'm such a bad person. I've done so many things. Could you please let me be your servant? That's not the relationship he wants. That's my son. I love him. I love you. So if you're feeling like I can't come to God, I've got too much. He's seen you already and he's come running. There's no shame for you. That's not the relationship that he wants. He's not looking at you, judging you for the things that you've done wrong. It's not about that. He sees that it's the devil that's got in and lied. He sees that it's the devil who's told you this and told you that. He's done it to the angels. He did it in Eden. He's done it all over the place. He'll deal with the devil when the devil's time is due. But in the meantime, he's just like, come to me. I love you. I've got so much for you. You've listened to those lies and now I want you back. You're coming back. That's amazing. Let's have a party. Let's enjoy all of this relationship. That's what he's saying to you. He's not saying, shame on you, your marriage is failing. Shame on you, this has gone wrong. Shame on you, that has gone wrong. Shame on you, you take drugs. Shame on you, this has gone. He's not saying that. Listen, God has certain standards that he calls us to, but he calls it to us because he sees the pain that all of that brokenness does to us. He's saying, please don't do that. It's going to hurt you. Don't listen to those lies. Don't do that. It's not good for you. But I'm not really bothered about the stuff. I love you. I love you. I delight in you. That's what he's saying to you. That's what his call is to you this morning, is let go of the stuff that you think separates you from God, because it doesn't. He had a rescue plan way back before time with Adam and Eve. He has a rescue plan for you. He always has had. He is not looking at your guilt and at your shame. He is looking at you and delighting in you. That is the truth of how God sees you. And actually, it is a lie that has been painted very, very well by the devil, that the church looks at you and judges you for your sin. It does not. And where it does, that's human failings who have bought lies themselves. God does not see you like that. He never has. That is not the relationship he has ever wanted with humanity. He looks at you and delights in you. He is love and he made you as an object of his affection to be loved. That is why you're here, for him to love you. That is incredible. Jumped through a few bits of my notes there. I love that God is still going to hold the devil to account. He is still going to hold the devil to account. But all he's interested in here and now is you and your heart and calling you back to him. If you have missed something of that depth, then here's a time to say, okay, God, I see that. I've bought a lie. I want that love, that life that flows, that petrol in my tank, that energy, that electricity. I want that again. I want that joy of a depth of a relationship with you. And he comes running and does not let you stay in your shame. I'm going to read a bit from Ephesians chapter 1, which reminds us of where we stand before God. And then I'm just going to pray for us, and I'm going to ask God to speak that, speak what he wants to speak to you. Yeah, you've heard me, but you don't need my love. You need God's love. You need to hear what God wants to say to you. So we're then just going to do something that we don't normally do in church, and we're going to sit here and we're going to say, okay, God, speak to me. I do. You say what you want to say to God, and then just listen. Hear his delight over you. So I'm going to read Ephesians 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's what we sang this morning, isn't it? He's got every blessing for us. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. It's incredible. Before there was a world, God knew you, chose you to be holy and blameless. So if you think your current actions have caused you to be separate from God, how can they have? He chose you before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He predestined us to be his family through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in Jesus. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, all of that stuff that you think separates you from God. Jesus came and he paid the price for that. You do not have to live under that shame anymore. He delights in you. He loves you. This is his redemption plan for you. Please do not listen to the lie that your sin stops you coming to God. It never has done, it never can do, it never will do. He has paid the price already. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished upon us. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything. You have been chosen, and he has a plan for you from before the world began. Isn't that a remarkable place to be? This cannot be robbed from you because you did nothing to get it. Before the world existed, not just before you existed, before the world existed, this cannot be robbed from you. I'm now just going to pray a prayer from Ephesians chapter 3. Which I've been praying for us all week. It's a prayer that's been around for many thousands of years. And while I'm praying this prayer, I'd like you to start to pray your own prayer to God. Say, God, whatever it is that's on your heart, I need some more of this. I recognize there's truth there, and I recognize I've been robbed of that. I want some more. You tell him what you need to tell him. Do business. If you need to get right, if you need to say, no, I've made some poor choices, I want to come back, then you do that. You do what you need to do with God. I'm going to pray a prayer that's been around and been encouraged and prayed over the church for thousands of years. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.